All right, well, we are going to be in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them for everyone to receive a little. Now one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. Now when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Amen. You know, we've read over this, and it seems like this is another portion of scripture that every time I read over this, something new comes out of it. But Jesus goes to the other side of the lake, and a great crowd of people follow him. And I want you to just imagine the lake is about 13 miles long and about 8.1 miles at the widest point. So I imagine the people are walking about 10 to 15 miles in order to follow him. It's quite a journey. I don't know how many miles you like to walk in a day, but 10 to 15 miles is quite a journey to do in a day in order to follow him. Sadly, the reason that the people, a majority of them, were following him was because of the miracles that he had performed and not because of who he was. They wanted to see more magic. They wanted to see more of the miracles. They wanted to see more of this, the things that he was doing. One person said, a faith founded on miracles is never as pleasing to God as that which is founded on his word alone. God's word should not require miracles to verify it. Anything that God says is true, it cannot possibly be false. That should be good enough for anyone. Now, I thought about it as I was reading this and dwelling on this a little bit. Today, we have people, I wonder if they show up at church or say that they're believers because they're waiting for that miracle to occur, the bells to ring, the angels to sing, the voice of God to ring in their head. They're just waiting for that magical moment, and they wait so long for the magic, for the miracle, or whatever it is in their life, that they miss out on the miracles that are happening all around them, because they have this in their head, how it should happen. I went to the altar, I don't know, for several times, because I wanted that the angel's voice or the bells to ring. I just kept going down there and I thought, I'm not getting saved because I don't feel any different. I'm not hearing anything. I mean, I've heard these other people talk about these incredible spiritual experiences, and it was like they were glowing, they were transformed, and I'm just not getting it. Well, I was getting it. But God gives it to each one of us in a different manner, in a different way. He's an incredible God. He just doesn't have this one touch fixes all, this one everybody gets the same thing. We're different. We're unique. And so I like to call mine this spiritual educational experience. Because as I read and I prayed, I was transformed and I grew. Now, there are people I've witnessed, I've seen people be transformed like this. I mean, they go down and they are completely different. But for me, it was a, well, it's still happening, thank goodness, because he's still working on me. So I want you to imagine, too. Sometimes I like to close my eyes and just picture myself and just thinking about Jesus, so busy. So busy. People coming up to him wanting to be healed, wanting to be taught, wanting to see him, wanting just a little piece of him. And so he goes to the other side of this lake. And I have to imagine that part of it was to maybe get some rest, to get some quiet time, to time with the disciples. And it's hard to do that when 5,000 people are following you and looking at you and expecting things from you. If it was you, would you look at them and say, yes, look at the people. What can we do for you? Or would you be one of these who would roll their eyes and like, can't you people find something else to do? Can you see how important I think I am today and I need a break? Can't you just leave me be? Jesus was not annoyed when he looked up and saw the people, even though they were coming to him for the wrong reason. You know, the important thing is they were coming. They were coming to him. And his concern was to take care of their needs. So he turns to Philip and he asks Philip the question. Where are we going to buy bread so that these people can eat? Jesus, when he asks this question, it's not for his knowledge. It's for Philip. There's something going to happen. So I get excited when in my life, God asks me a question and a question comes up, whether I'm reading the scripture or in my prayer life or getting together in fellowship with somebody else, because I realize that when the question comes up, it's not because God wants to learn, it's because he has something he wants to share with me. And he's already got the answer. And it's somewhere there for me. So going in prayer or going however it is, but Philip, Jesus asked him this question. Jesus has a plan for how he's going to take care of it. And Philip did not even realize that Jesus had the ability to do this. And Philip's response to Jesus was that even if we had 200 days of wages, I wouldn't have enough money to supply people with all the bread that we would need. If he worked and had 200 days worth of a denarii was usually about a one day's wage, he wouldn't have enough bread for everybody. So he's in this material world and just thinking about what he would need in order to take care of this need. Well, of course, his brother Philip pipes up and he says, hey, we got a boy here. I don't know if he's trying to mock or if he's joking around or what it is, because Philip doesn't think that what the boy has is going to be enough. You know that. They don't understand what Jesus can do, but he pipes up anyway and says, hey, we got this boy here. He's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But I almost imagine he says it with this tone like, hey, he's got these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's kind of like taking a squirt gun to a wildfire. Not going to do much good. I like to think about maybe I could be like that little boy, though. Here are all these adults. Thousands of adults coming to follow Jesus. They come 10 to 15 miles. And they don't bring any food with them. But this little boy, he brings these little loaves of bread and a couple of fish. I mean, I imagine it's just enough for himself. But somehow it comes around that, I don't know if he's on the outside looking at the conversation with the adults. And so he comes up and speaks to Andrew. Maybe tugs on Andrew's robe a little bit because he hears that they're trying to feed everybody. And this little boy just kind of hands over. He says, this is what I got. You can have it. And Andrew almost mocks him, I think. he brought 5 loaves of fish, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Kids. But too bad Phil, Andrew didn't have the same faith that this little boy had as he gave what he had to Jesus. For Jesus to use as he saw fit. Because this little boy, he didn't have much on his own, but when he gave it to Jesus, this young lad, this little boy, when he gave what he had to Jesus, Jesus was able to use what he had in order to take care of the needs of over 5,000 people. So next time our young people think that they don't have what it takes in order to serve God or to fulfill what God wants them to do, Jesus in one day used what one boy had in order to fill the needs of over 5,000 adults and children. You do what you can do. I'll do what I can do. And the Lord will do what we cannot do. Jesus took what the boy gave him and gave thanks. When we give thanks, we do it with the attitude that no matter what it is, it will be enough with the blessing of God. Can you imagine that? Here, if I went out and I was supposed to pick up hamburgers and hot dogs, if I showed up and we had like 5 hamburger buns and 1 hot dog and 1 hamburger, and I said to you all, yeah, this is what you're going to have for potluck, you all would not be very happy with me. Would we have the faith to believe that God can make it be enough? And the next thing is, when you read through the scriptures, you notice that Jesus didn't go out and hand everybody the food. He was giving it to his disciples, and his disciples were going out and feeding the people. I'm bad at this, and I know some of you are bad at it too, that we have a hard time asking for help when we need help. We have a hard time saying no. We have a hard time handing off. Because the world watches, and you're supposed to do everything that you can. You're supposed to be drugged down and burned out in order to show everybody else your worth and how good you are. Jesus could have done it. But he used the people that he had brought in close to him. And so the food was distributed. And it says, they all received as much as they wanted. When I'm with Jesus, when I'm in that relationship with Jesus, when I'm focused on him, he always gives me as much as I want. It's because my attitude has changed. It's because what I want is different. It's because I'm satisfied with what he gives me. And I am overjoyed with it. It was like at one time, all the money I could get was never enough. And now, it's like whatever I have, thank you, God, is exactly enough. The same thing with food and everything else. One person wrote, loaves unblessed are loaves unmultiplied. And then I want to finish up with this. He had him pick up everything that was left over. Because there was no wasting. And in the kingdom of God, there is no wasting. That goes for people. We waste times and talents, and God doesn't waste any of it. He has plans for each and every one of us. I want to finish up for last time, Jim. I won't bother you anymore. Well, at least not till next week. These are the last little bit for the Pray for Five. You know, one of the reasons that I did this every week is because I learn a lot and things stick with me out of repetition. And this prayer for other people is one of the most valuable ministries you'll ever have. And it's also to make you realize and to know that you have a ministry praying for these that are on your list. And you'll have to write them on the back because I filled it all up with scripture. But hopefully I have it written on my wall, and hopefully you'll put it somewhere that where you can partake in the scripture yourselves. The very first one is, number one, is to pray personally for the forgetters and outsiders. And it's from Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that's just that prayer that you pray for each and every person. I pray for you that our hearts, that we would just be opened up to what God has for us, that we would just realize the blessings, the love, the power, the grace, that we would just be opened up to all of that. But we need help. So we pray for doors to be open in our relationships with the people we pray for. Because it's amazing, and I hope that you'll start sharing with me if God opens up these doors for you and you see opportunities that he's opening up for you to talk and share with people. And Colossians 4:3 says, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. And I want you to look at that. It says, may proclaim. And it's kind of like we may speak. And it's not like shoving it down their throat, but may we get into action and show them the love and the mystery of Christ. And he says, pray for courage to speak when appropriate. You ever been in that part where you're going like, do I speak now? Do I not speak? Should I say something? Should I not say something? Well, what if we pray about it and look that for the courage to speak when appropriate? Acts 4:29 says, and now, Lord, take note of the threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. Been working on your testimonies? Because the next one says, pray for clarity of words. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. It is important that you are prepared to speak when you have the opportunity. When the door is open, you're praying for the door to be open. You're praying for the courage to speak. It's important that we're praying that we have the words to speak. That we say, because with some people, you're going to have one opportunity. And I don't want to be the one who shuts the door on someone because I wasn't ready to speak the words that God wanted me to speak in that situation. And then Ephesians 3:16 through 19 is one for today. Pray for an increase of love. I pray that out of his glorious riches, the Father may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. I shared with you just maybe last week or the week before. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we have access to the power and glory of God. And Jesus said he sent that back so that we could do even greater things than what he did when he ministered. So we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive the power of God so that we could continue the ministry of Jesus. And we are not the B team carrying on for him. We are part of the A team. We have the same power, the same grace, so that we can continue on the ministry of Jesus Christ in the same way that Christ ministered when he was here. And I'm excited to know that the power of God is as strong as ever. He has not run out. He's not letting up. And you have access to that same power today. If you're praying for these people as you are entering in this situation, the same power that Jesus went in these situations is the same power that you're going into them also. May I pray with you today?